Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, January 3rd, 2020.
Can you believe it?
No, I cannot believe it. We're living in the future.
I'm always relieved when the holidays are over.
Really?
I'm like, oh, my God, back to normal.
I know.
Back to regularly scheduled program.
I don't know
program.
If I like normal anymore, you know?
Really?
Isn't it funny between Christmas and New Year's, like you don't know what day it is?
No,
you
I haven't
know
known
anything,
what day it
right?
is for a while.
Yeah.
Since I moved here, I've just been going a little crazy. So every day I'm like, it's Friday. Everyone's like, it's Tuesday. And I'm
right.
Oh, God. Just forgetting all the days. I have no idea.
I know. It's so much time off. And then we got the weekend coming up.
I know.
Which is cool. We have beautiful weather, huh?
It's been amazing. New Year's Day was incredible.
Right.
I was like, man, the weather here is just so good.
Right?
It's just so good. All the time.
It's hard to resist.
Ugh.
How was your New Year's Eve? Did you have fun?
Yeah, I went to my friend's rooftop party with my friend who I'm working on this film with and another friend who I got a job on the film too, who mm-hmm. I met actually in my summer class. So we went to a rooftop party, had some fun and drink
That's
some
cool.
champagne, I know. I don't go anywhere without some bubbly.
Are they like rich for having a roof party or is that like the roof for everybody, for all the
No, I think
tenants?
It's a roof for all the tenants. Although, I only saw their door that went to it. I mean, it was a nice apartment, but it was in Culver City. You know, it was a really nice apartment, but it wasn't like extravagant. It
right,
was just,
right.
you know, regular nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's probably something everybody shares.
Yeah, maybe.
The roof or
we'll
something.
We'll see, yeah.
Oh, well, very nice. Were there a lot of people?
Yeah, there were a lot of people. And I knew a lot of them because the friend who helped throw the party, I met him actually years ago. We worked together at a gym in New Jersey when I lived there. Yeah, like 7 years ago. And we just kind of stayed in contact. And then he worked in New York a bit. So he crashed at my place a bunch. And then he moved out here. And he's been convincing me to come out here for years. And we've been friends for a long time. And his wife is fantastic. And all of his friends
That's
are always
cool.
great. Yeah, he always has a nice crew of people around. But the best part was at the end of the party, I found out that there was a cat there.
Yeah.
I was so excited.
Really?
Yeah. I was
so
like, where's the cat?
The cat?
Yeah. The guy like let me in his room, closed the door, and it was just me and the cat.
I'm oh,
like,
wow.
Like, come here.
You and your cat.
Yeah. So excited. Anytime there's a pet at the house, like that's, I'm always the person like playing with the cat or the dog in the corner. Even if there's like a turtle, I'm like, can we take him out of the tank?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, always that person.
That's cool.
I don't care about like the boys or like the drinks or the party or the fun or the games. I'm just like, there's an animal here.
Yeah. My daughter got a cat about a couple weeks ago, and this cat is like bouncing off the walls all over the place. Yeah, a kitten.
Yeah, I would never get kittens again.
Really?
Never.
Why? Because they're crazy?
They're just insane.
Right.
Yeah, there were times I lived in a studio when I had my first, it was a foster fail. So I was, I started this foster program and these two cats need somewhere to go. Like their foster parents are about to like leave to go to London. So I was like, yeah, I'll totally foster them. And, they were 11 weeks old when I got them. So cute, but total maniacs, total little psychos. And, because I lived in a studio, they would just start going in circles, especially at nighttime. Everyone who has cats know that they go crazy at like 3 a.m. and they just start ricocheting off the walls, chasing each other, like in this like blurry circle, you know, you almost like can't even see them. They're just ricocheting and they would land on my face and like jump off. They just had no social cues that anyone is sleeping. And so I, a
no
few times, like,
yeah,
and I was exhausted because I was getting woken up all night. So since it's a studio, it's not like I could close the door. So I just slept in my bathroom
in the tub.
Yeah. So I would
and
never.
And you would put them in the bathroom. You went to sleep in the bathroom.
Yeah, because my bathroom was small. So like I'd have to put their litter box and their food in there and everything. And it's too tiny. I'm like, I'm going to go lay in the tub.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know.
What a story.
Yeah. I was like, I can't. I can't do this anymore. But I wanted to get an older cat because, you know, like kittens are great. They're awesome, but they're always going to get adopted. It's the older cats, the older animals in general that really need homes, you know.
Yeah.
They really do because people don't want them, which I don't understand why because they're equally as cute and squishy.
That's true, right?
Yeah, so squishy. Especially like a fat, blubbery older cat. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
I love it.
I guess they want young so they can sort of like... see them grow and everything.
Yeah,
you know.
I know, but they're always ingrates.
Yeah.
They're just like, they just don't appreciate you the way like an older cat appreciates you because they've been around the block. They've been living in a cage. They're just like, thank God you got me out of there. You know, kittens are kind of like, you're my slave now. Yeah. You know, ingrates. They are.
Wow.
I know they're always brats. My cats are sweet though.
Yeah.
They just don't.
So tell me something about shelters and stuff. There's people that say, you know, they want shelters not to put the animals to sleep. But what is the answer? I mean, what is the alternative if nobody adopts them, right?
Yeah.
They're going to have like a million of cats and dogs there.
I know. I mean, that's why in some states it's law that you have to have your cat neutered or spayed when you adopt them so that they don't produce more cats because, like, yeah, it sucks. Like, I guess some people see it as you're taking away the animal's ability to procreate. But at the same time, we have enough animals in shelters that need homes.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's definitely more research I would need to do on that. But there's a lot of places like cat cafes that open up that at least allow the cats to live in the cafe. People can come in, you know, pet and play with the cats. They're up for adoption and things like that. But at very least, they get like an open space to walk around. They get to mingle with people, be social and things like that. But yeah, people don't, I mean, I don't believe in kill shelters either. Just because someone doesn't like want something, like you just kill it, you know, like,
well,
I don't.
But what's the alternative? That's what I'm saying.
You have cat cafes, you have fosters, just opening more. So many people want to foster, you know, so just having more, finding more foster programs and things like that. I mean, it's between a rock and a hard place for sure, but there are options. So
it's
get out there,
sad, you know?
Adopt, don't shop. You know, so many people are spending, you know, if you buy like a Bengal cat, which is kind of more of like an exotic breed that looks like a mini leopard or, you know, like a Norwegian forest cat, which is like a really big fluffy one. Like any of these like bougie cats, I mean, they need homes too, but breeders aren't helping the case.
Right.
Because these cats get, you know, people come and they adopt what they want and then whatever's left, they throw them in shelters or people even just like let them out on the street.
Yeah.
You know, and that sucks. But, you know, adopt, don't shop. Like, I know you might want your top shelf cat, but
yeah,
there's plenty in shelters that need you, you know.
Yeah, it's sad, man.
It's
sad
really
to
sad.
Think about all that stuff.
I would love, you know, to have a farm one day.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you go to the shelter and you see all these dogs just like so sad and depressed and stuff, and you're like, wow, you know.
They don't stand a chance too because like their personalities change. Like you see so many, I've seen so many stories and from friends, from internet videos of animals you see at the shelter and they're sad, they're in a cage, like they don't know what's going on. Like they you can't communicate to them, be like, so you're in this cage because da 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 da. So they're just confused and just, you know what I mean? Like you don't know what their journey's been. They've just been trucked around from place to place, person to person, and you just don't.
That's true.
You know, like they have no concept of what's happening to them. They just know that they're like in this like little cell and it sucks. And then when you adopt them, they're a completely different animal once they're in like a nice cozy home. And I just like feel for them so much because like they all deserve homes, you know?
Right.
It just sucks.
Right.
It sucks so bad.
I know. People create all kinds of shit, man.
Right. And all the
all
people
kinds
that
of bad situations.
Yeah.
You know?
People that get kittens and puppies for holidays to people and then they're grown up and they don't want them anymore because they don't think they're as cute. Like if you're going to adopt a pet, you keep your pet. And if you don't, if you are getting a pet as an accessory, if you're getting a pet because you just like think they're so cute when they're kittens and you don't really want an adult cat like or dog, don't get an animal and then give it up, because that's so unfair.
It's a commitment. People have to be prepared for that. You know? And they're not, you know. I mean,
no.
I sometimes think, oh, maybe I should get a dog. But then I'm thinking, God, you know, this is like a commitment for years and years.
Yeah. I mean, dogs, I love dogs, but they're a heavier commitment than a cat. Like, you can leave a cat overnight and they're going to be fine. With a dog, if you don't take your dog out to pee, they're going to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just going to, you have to put a puppy pad down. Like, dogs need a little more effort.
Right.
You know, and people. Right. People just, like, see this, like, cute thing. People do it with having children, too.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, my God, I want a baby. I want to dress it up, this and that. And I've had a couple friends who have had children, and I don't want to say they regret it, but I think that they're kind of rethinking their decision now. Like, they just thought that they wanted this thing that was going to love them unconditionally, that was going to be cute to dress up, take cute photos with, just because they saw someone else's cute baby on their Instagram. And now they have it. They have this baby or this animal, and they feel totally trapped by it.
Jeez, so, man, people, this is pathetic, you know?
People need to really consider what's going on in their mind. I don't think people dig deep enough into themselves before getting married and having kids.
You're right.
I think people just think, like, I'm lonely, or I need this, or I want this, or I want this image of, like, what my lifestyle is. And they're not really unraveling what's going on. And another thing that's actually really screwed up, two things that I heard that were really screwed up, is around Halloween, a lot of shelters take the black cats off the market because people actually adopt them for sacrifice.
Really?
Yeah. I read one article and I was like, this can't be right. And I read a few articles about it and I was like, read on this veterinarian's blog. The vet said that the saddest part about being a vet isn't having to put the animal down, but it's the fact that when they do put people's pets down, people don't want to be in the room with their pet.
Yeah.
So the animal is getting put to sleep alone in a room with a vet that they don't know. It's not their parent, and they're scared, they're terrified, and they're usually whimpering and crying. Right. And the doctors all said that, there was like four or five doctors that all talked about this on this one blog, and they just talked about how sad it was just hearing the animals cry as they're putting them to sleep.
Right.
And I was like, that is something that just like tore my heart out when I read that.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, no. You know, like, that's, if you're not going to treat your pet like it's your baby, like, that's like your pet, you know? Yeah. It's like, my pets are everything to me, and they should be to you. And if you don't feel that way, don't get one.
Yeah.
You know, pisses me off.
Yeah.
I'm like, people, you should be euthanized with no one in the room with you.
Yeah, exactly. You get fucking killed by a vet, you know?
Yeah, very much like, it's good that I'm not in power, because I'm the kind of person that's like, you should have done to you what you do to others. You know? Like, that's really how I feel.
Yeah,
you know?
Tooth for tooth, an eye for an eye.
Yeah, I'm exactly, that's truly how I feel. I like, love retaliation. I love retaliation. I'm like, if this is what you did, this is what I'm gonna do.
Right.
You know?
That's true. Can you imagine if we could do that?
That'd be so insane. All the rapists and the murderers just having all that stuff done to them.
Right.
Be amazing.
Yeah.
Truly.
It would be.
You know? I think people get off too easy.
Yeah.
They really do. You know? I'm like, what, you're gonna go to prison for 35 years and have free meals?
Yeah.
You know, I'll take some free meals.
Yeah.
Sounds all right. You know, just hang out. Maybe do a painting class, go to the library.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I would think jail is probably the worst thing ever. You know?
No, it does suck in there.
It would be worse than death for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Unless you go to one of those frou-frou prisons for like people who do like financial fraud.
Yeah.
Totally. They're just like, you're like in an art class all day.
Right.
Or something. Yeah.
Art class. I know, but the tough jails, fuck, man.
No, you have, it's kill or be killed there. Yeah. And that's like such a catch with going to prison is, you know, you go, you have 3 years under your belt or 5 years under your belt, and then you have to like, you have to protect yourself. So you have to become part of another group of people. And in order to do that, there's like, it's like a fraternity, you know, you have to do your pledge or whatever. And then that pledge gets you in trouble. And then you have more years, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Fuck, man.
I know.
And it costs society so much money to keep people in jail, you know?
I know.
Apparently, it's like over $100,000 per person or something.
For how long?
For a year, you know?
A year?
A year.
That's like more expensive of a life than they would live.
You know?
On their own.
Yeah.
You know?
Fucking crazy, man.
It is crazy.
And So, but on other news, I guess they started this law in California now. It's called AB5, where it's hard to be an independent contractor now.
Okay.
So I guess they're aiming this at like Uber and Postmates and stuff like that. So you have to be like on the payroll of somebody, you know? And that's going to create so much trouble. Already some people are telling me they're moving away from California because when you're not an independent contractor, there's a lot of things you can't deduct. And when you can't deduct them, you have to spend to pay more taxes.
Yeah.
So you make less money.
Well, I wonder how that's going to affect people in film because everyone I know is a freelancer.
I know.
I'm a freelancer, you know? Every actor, director, producer, editor, writer, the entire entertainment business.
I know. You can't be, like, hired by everybody as an employee.
Right.
You know? So this is going to hurt a lot of people. And that's just what, you know, welcome to California. That's all I can tell you. It's like the stupidest fucking laws. And just making it harder and harder to live here.
And I can't believe they would do that here, a place that has that is known for its film industry, its film and arts and things like that.
They call it the gig economy, you know. Where
the gig economy, yeah.
Right. So I don't know what's going to happen, you know. I mean, there's some people that are fighting this, but you know, I mean, it's just crazy. And it probably violates federal laws, too, because... because this is a state law, you know.
Yeah.
But this is something that needs to be decided by the IRS, I think, not by the states.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, but it's creating a lot of problems for businesses.
Yeah, it sucks.
And for people that work, you know.
It's hard enough when you freelance and then you owe money at the end of the year.
Right.
You know, waitressing, all that too.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's not, I mean, you're hired by an employer, but you still... most of the time don't have taxes taken out right away.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's not right.
It's not right. Yeah, I mean, the job I worked at in New York, it was a really high-end restaurant, and most of the regular servers, not even the senior staff, the regular servers would make, you know, $350 to $650 a night, and then the senior staff would make, like, $600 to $1,000 a night, and we're all taking that home in cash at the end of the night. No taxes, nothing.
So this is on the tips, though.
This is tips only.
Right.
But then as far as
the salary, though, you have to be an employee, though, right?
There's no... I mean, salary would be only, like, managers and things like that. But servers...
No hourly pay for the servers?
I think it was about 10 an hour, and they took some taxes out of that, but most of my coworkers made... I mean, some of them made like $125,000 a year, and they would owe like $15,000 come tax season, which is terrifying to me.
Right.
You know, because when you're a server, a bartender, anytime it's money in, money out, you're like, yeah, okay, I made $400 tonight. I'm gonna go out. You end up spending like $100 or $200 in a day, and you're like, whatever. I'm just gonna go to work tomorrow and make another $400. Right. So you're not really. It's so hard to save money in that industry because. You know there's money coming at all times.
It's cash mostly.
Oh, so much cash. Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah. But I would make all this money, and then it's the end of the month, and I'm like going through my cash, and I'm like, I don't have enough for rent. Like, how did that happen? Like, I made rent in a week every week.
Yeah.
It's like, you just spend money on stupid shit. So much stupid shit.
I know. When you get cash, that happens, you know?
I know.
And you totally don't think about the taxes and everything, you know?
Oh, I think about them.
Yeah.
They haunt me, all right.
Yeah.
They sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm more money later, I'll save it up later. You know, before you know it, you know, it's like all of a sudden you're in busy season is the best, you know, the holiday season, you're making like sometimes $2,000-$2,500 a week, and which is good, that's great money, and you're spending a lot of that sometimes, you know, depending on what you're doing, you're buying gifts, you're going here, you're going there, you're picking up tabs. You're like, I have money. I'm just going to pay for dinner tonight. This is fine. $500. Who cares? I'm just going to work. And then before you know it, it's slow season and you're making like $150 to $250 a night. And you're like, oh, God, I'm sweating now, you know.
Yeah,
it's rough out there.
My son is a bartender now. He's been able to save quite a bit of money, which I'm very proud of him.
Great.
But, you know, because sometimes he says they have like a party at the restaurant or something.
Yeah.
$500
a night. A buyout, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I love a buyout.
Yeah.
It's great, especially when it's high end. I remember we did the Marvelous Miss Maisel season 3 buyout party, premiere party. It was my last night of work in New York. And I made friends with a couple of the producers that were there. And the one guy just kept palming me hundreds all night.
Really?
I was like, yeah. Whoa. I was just like, what else can I get for you? What else can I get for you? What else can I get for you?
Whoa.
Anything, you know? Yeah. I was
it's
like,
amazing
bring it up.
How, it, you know, to some people, all this money means nothing, you know?
I know.
I mean, for him, the $100 is like $10 or a dollar.
I know. I know. Totally. I was thinking about that. Even with my boss, I'm like, $5 to me. $500 to her is like $5.
Right.
You know, like right. For me, I'm like, I spent $5 on this thing right now, you know. I'm like, uh-oh, should I get a reimbursement or just treat them to this $5, you know? I'm like, it's okay. It's just $5. It's fine.
It's hard to fathom how much money people make, man.
I know. She treated me to the IV doc. You know what that is? They give you these intravenous vitamins.
Yeah. We had them on the show like years ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we had...
That's crazy, though.
Yeah.
Right?
I booked her an appointment, and then I booked her another appointment. She had like one like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and then one last week. And I was like, you're going to be so hydrated. And she was like, do you want one? And I was like, no, that's okay. And she was like, really? She's like, I'll treat you if you want one. If anyone needs it, it's you. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
She was like, hop in the bed.
Right.
I just like hopped in her big squishy bed and got an IV. I was like, okay.
What did they put in that IV?
I did the antioxidant and vitamin B complex. So it's all the B vitamins. Makes your pee smell really weird. It smelled like wheat and also like very sterile environment. It was a very strange smell. And the next morning she was like, how do you feel? And it's weird too because like your hands and like feet, you just get really bloated at first because they put this entire bag of liquid into your body.
Oh my God.
And you can feel like the cool saline like in your veins. Like you feel like a little cold at first. Plus it was a kind of, remember we had like that week, it was like a kind of chilly week.
Right.
So I was a little bit cold anyway. Then I had this like saline that just was like, you could just like feel I was just like a little squishier.
Oh,
it's just
God.
A little squishy
you
in my hands.
Me out.
Yeah. Totally.
Put shit in your body.
And then your pee looks like if you just like ate highlighters.
Really?
It looks like I was just chewing on highlighters all day.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really weird. It was a weird smell.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Like really yellow and glowy.
It was like the color of that wire over there. That yellow wire. It was literally that color.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's vitamin B for you.
Jeez, man. People do all kinds of crazy shit, you know, go and get an IV.
Only
in LA.
Though.
Did you have it done in LA or in New York?
Yeah, here. Yeah. It just happened last week. I still have the little bruise mark from it. Yeah.
We had them on the show and they were trying to convince us to do this. I'm like, no way, you know?
Yeah, it's nice.
You can't get me to get this done.
Why not? It's just hydration and vitamins.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, they're not, are they doctors? They're not even doctors, these
people.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not just like anyone off the street. They're like certified for sure. You know, they wouldn't hire me to give IVs, you know. You have
they
to,
would too.
No, they
would.
Wouldn't. They're actual nurses. You
yeah,
have to be
what
nurse.
They say.
Yeah.
But a nurse is not a doctor anyway, you know? I mean, you don't know what they put in there.
Yeah,
stuff.
they're a nurse enough to legally give you an injection, give you an IV.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even want to give someone an IV. I'm like, that's...
I know, gross, right?
Not into it. I don't like veins or needles or...
I know. I don't know how people can become doctors or even nurses.
Yeah.
Know? Clean up after people.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, my dad was a podiatrist and... I would go to his office with him since I was like 8 years old, you know, every right. Saturday I went with him and I would help the worst for me. I used to be able to handle like blood and needles and stuff. And the older I get, the more squeamish I get. But the worst for me, and this is like some deep in my soul shit right here, would be having to take like the old people's socks off and then all their like crusty skin dust would just like cloud in the air.
Oh,
and I'd
wow.
be like... I'm like, exhale only. And there's just like skin flakes.
Yeah. Today you put like a mask on or
something. Oh my God. Just skin flakes in the air. And it was back in the 90s too, before it was like illegal to smoke inside. And my dad would just like smoke in the back of his office. And I'm just like, I don't know why you think no one can smell it from up here. It's like not a big doctor's office at all. But yeah, for me, the worst would be like the skin flakes.
Wow.
Just like cascading around and landing on my lips. I hated it. And I would just go in the back and I'd be like spitting in the sink and like wiping my lips off.
Jeez.
Yeah. And they thought I was like such a cute little 10-year-old helping.
You know, working with people's bodies and stuff, it's disgusting.
Man. Ew, the things our bodies produce. It's so disgusting. Right? I hate it.
That's why, you know, I mean, I admire people that can handle this because if it weren't for them, who would do it? You know?
Yeah. Like who the dermatologists and stuff, like the Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, God.
You know, all the cysts and stuff. I hate that. I like watching the blackhead extraction. I really do.
God.
Sometimes I watch it to calm down if I'm really anxious about something. I'll just watch like an extraction video.
Oh, my God.
But it's the popping the cysts that I can't. Oh, I can't do it. I hate it. The big ones, blah. I hate it. I hate it so much. It's so disgusting.
Oh, man.
Jeez. Yeah.
I know.
Not a fan.
It's hard. It's hard to do. But some people, I mean, they choose to do it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what about like surgeons and shit like that?
Thank God some people don't mind because we'd still be all dying at 35 if people didn't step up.
And we'd all be disgusting.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh, so gross. Like a gynecologist, that's gross to me.
Yeah.
You know? Like a GI doctor, that's gross. Right. Like giving people colonoscopies.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, no. Right. No, thank you. I've had one done before. I would never want to do that to somebody else.
I know.
No.
I know. I'm like one time, I don't know if they still do this, but, you know, when the doctor sticks their finger in your ass or something for prostate, I think, stuff like that. I don't know if they still do this. They probably do.
But, I mean, you should know.
Well, I haven't had it done in many years. But.
You're due.
Well, I don't know. The doctor never tells me I need to do it, so I don't know. But I remember when I went to the doctor and he did this, I said, is that why you went to school for 7-8 years is to stick your finger up people's ass?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's pretty disgusting.
I mean, the first time I went to the gynecologist, I think I was like 17 or 18. Mm-hmm. And I left and my mom was like, yeah, they put their finger in your butt. And I was like, no, they didn't. She was like, they were supposed to. I was like, to do what? She's like, they have to feel the lining between... Yeah. Between both sides. And I was like, yeah, they definitely didn't do that. And thank God you didn't tell me that they did do that because then I would just be concerned the whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to do that. And my sister just turned 40 and her doctor told her now she has to start getting mammograms. And my mom always has told me about mammograms and they've always disgusted me because they have to flatten your boob out so much.
Right.
She's like, you think your nipple's going to pop off? And I'm like, don't say that. Don't say that. I don't want to hear that.
Don't want to think about it.
No, I don't want to think about it getting all flattened out. She's like, it's like a pancake. You wouldn't believe. She'll just go on and on and on. It's like a pancake. You wouldn't believe how flat they get it.
So would they do with like boob jobs and stuff? I mean, that would be tough to do.
That would be tough. I have no idea. They pop it.
Pop the fucking
ew. Thing. Oh, my God.
I know.
I hate it.
I do. It's like, I know.
We're really getting into it today.
They're like so hard, the boobs, you know? I mean, the other day when we had the guest here, you know, it's like we hug and I'm like, God, this is so hard. How can anybody enjoy this, you know?
Some people don't mind.
I know.
Yeah. It's so ridiculous.
Well, let's change the topics.
Yeah, something a little less squeamish.
Yeah.
I hope everyone's not barfing in their cars right now. Just throwing up into their hands and throwing it out the window.
I know.
Blah.
I don't know if you heard about this, but the head of Nissan in Japan got arrested because for embezzlement and all kinds of financial shit, right?
Yeah.
And this is the guy that really saved Nissan from... He's not even Japanese. He's like... Lebanese, French or something.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Carlos Ghosn. And so several years ago, I remember Nissan was in deep trouble. He came in and really fixed the company. So they realized, they found out that he screwed him up with a lot of money. So they arrested him and he was waiting trial. In his home, right? He's like home arrest or something.
House arrest,
right?
A little anklet.
So I don't know if they had an anklet or anything. I don't think so. But he was just awaiting trial. and I'm not sure of the circumstances, but then they found out the other day he escaped Japan. So you have to wonder, how the hell did he get out of his house?
Because they didn't give him an anklet.
People are watching. Right. And how did he get? So apparently he took like private planes and stuff, and people helped him, like a security firm or something, helped him get away.
I'm sure. And, I mean, if he's embezzling all that money, I'm sure he's got some cash stored somewhere.
Right.
You know, now, for the right price, I'd help someone.
I know, right? And that's what they're saying. You know, when you're that rich, you can get away with shit like this.
I know.
So he ended up in Lebanon, which is where his family is, his parents, and he's got a mansion there too. So,
just chilling in my mansion in Lebanon.
Right?
No big deal.
Yeah, right?
I'm like, just come over to my apartment where I get the
smell. Not mentioning really how he got from his house to the plane, but the New York Post the other day said that they believe he was smuggled out with in a base case, you know, where they have like the base, like those really large bases they play. Mm-hmm. You know, the musical instrument.
Oh my gosh!
So they have like cases for double basses or something. So, but I don't know if it's true or not. I didn't see it anywhere else except in the Post. So
clever.
Yeah, but if that was the case, can you imagine? You know, the CEO of a company and stuff. You end up being smuggled out in a fucking base case.
So that's some prison shit right there.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
And then there was like a rogue employee at the, like a private jet company, a Turkish private jet company. So
I love a rogue employee.
Right?
I'm like, they're just ready to do anything.
I know, man.
So unpredictable, so predictably unpredictable.
Right.
You know?
And you give the money too, and they're like a loose fucking cannon.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Those are the people that help us make good film.
Right.
You know, yeah. I love, like, it's when people say you can't write this shit, and I'm like, no, you can. Like, this is exactly the shit that you write.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
People do it in real life. That's pretty,
it's insane.
You know,
love it.
I know. I know. Apparently, he funneled more than $5 million of Nissan's money to a car dealership he controlled. I mean, how did. That's what I don't understand. People spend steal so much money, mm-hmm. and they think nobody's going to find out.
Right. Like, I wonder how much money he's...
I don't care if you're the CEO. I mean, somebody's going to audit the books and find out.
Right. And also, you're probably spending so much on hush money and escape money.
Right.
That it's probably evening out to the amount that you've embezzled anyway. So you may as well just do it right.
Right.
And have the same amount of money.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
But people think they're going to get away with so much shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like the guy I told you about with the $42 million that, like, the SEC discovered that, you know, I'd met this guy. $42 million he built people out of. I mean, do you really think you're going to get away with this? You know, eventually.
Dead for a long time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what's his name? Barney Madoff, who got caught with all this.
Who's that?
He's this New Yorker that was like bilking people out of money, telling them like for investments, and it was all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he got millions and millions of dollars from people, so they made an example out of him.
Oh my gosh.
And it's not Barney, it's Bernie, I think. Bernie Madoff, a New Yorker, too. So it was a big deal. I mean,
with a name like Bernie, you have to be from New York.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's like the only name.
And a Jewish guy, too.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Bernie.
Yeah.
Hey, Bernie.
So he's in jail now, but he was made an example of people that rip people off, you know.
So wild.
So how do people think they're going to get away with this? I have no idea, but I guess when you're that... in such a powerful position like the CEO of Nissan, you think, hey, you know, I can get away with anything.
I just feel like if I had that much money, like when I want to do shady shit is when I don't have money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, how can I make some money? I hit Craigslist. I find you.
Right. Yeah.
Which is not shady at all, actually. But I've definitely found some shady gigs off Craigslist for sure.
Right. Wow.
And I just feel like if I had money, I just want to pay all of my bills. I just want to pay my bills.
Right.
And just live an honest situation and not worry.
Right.
That's why I want money, so I don't have to worry.
Right.
You know what I mean? People say, okay, you have money, you have more problems, this and that. I'm like, yeah, but they're not wondering how they're going to pay their phone bill or their car payment or, like, let down their guarantors. You know what I mean? They're not like, uh-oh, I got to pay this car payment, otherwise it's going to screw up my sister's house loan.
Right. Yeah. My son did that to me with the fucking car loan, man.
Perfect.
He missed one payment, and it dropped my credit score by like 60 points. Ugh. And his dropped by 100 points. And I was so fucking pissed, I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, why didn't you tell me? You know, I would have made the payment or something.
Yeah.
But the worst thing you can do to your credit is not pay on time.
I know.
Everything else is like secondary.
Yeah. But what I've realized in terms of like having money and not having money is like your credit can go up. And I had a friend who worked for a credit guy who like helped fix people's credit. And you can just write them a letter and tell them about a situation. And it takes like 3 to 6 months, but they'll usually up your credit score and take certain things off your credit.
Well, but it depends what it is.
It does depend, but. Yeah.
And some things they would, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you dispute some things, you know. But I don't know if explaining a late payment is going to raise your score.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but in time, that's why it'll be fine.
Yeah.
If your credit sucks, don't worry. It'll be fine in time. Yeah. In enough time,
so I told him I'm not going to co-sign anymore. But do you think that's true? I mean, his lease is about to be up. I know I'm going to have to co-sign again.
Yeah.
It's my son. What am I going to do? Tell him no? You know, I know. So he doesn't have a car. So, but it's back up, you know. I mean, after about a few months, it goes back up.
Yeah, see, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But co-signing is such a stupid thing to do, you know? I mean,
I know.
You got to try not to do it. But with your kids, usually it's like, what are you going to do, you know?
You can find that on Craigslist, too. People are willing to pay you thousands of dollars to co-sign for them.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, I wouldn't even if I would be approved, which I wouldn't.
I mean, what the fuck? Somebody you don't know?
Yeah.
Really?
I've been offered $2,000 to co-sign for somebody.
Really?
I'm like, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be approved. Like, for sure. Maybe before I moved to LA, but shit really hit the fan.
Yeah, but even if you get approved, I mean, you don't know them. You know they're going to fucking not pay.
Yeah.
And run away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
That's why they do it.
I'm like, you pay me first.
Yeah.
First.
No, but even if they do, right? So they'll pay you, but then they'll miss the payment.
Right, and then I'm screwed.
Exactly.
Right.
No, who would do something like that? Just
a shady person.
Yeah.
People just trying to do shady shit.
Or desperate people. No, I mean, who would do the co-signing?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Someone desperate for some cash. But I'm not gonna take. You know how fast $2,000 would go?
Yeah,
$2,000 is not enough money for that.
I know.
Like I want like $100K.
Yeah.
Or something.
I know. Like to screw up your credit, that's the least you want to get.
Yeah, minimum.
Wow.
Yeah. It's wild out there.
Yeah. So they're saying that I guess they did this study. And apparently a third of Americans would give up sex for a year in exchange for the perfect body. So
yeah.
So if they could reach their goal, their fitness goal, they would give up sex for a year.
Yeah, I would.
A third of Americans. I know, I would too, right?
Piece of cake.
Right. Isn't it easier to just work out, though?
I know. That's how I feel about people who get like augmentation and stuff. I'm like, you could spend a year and build your butt for like half the price that you're spending on an implant.
Right.
You know, like maybe chest is different. You know, you can't really, you can like tighten your boobs. You can't really make them that much bigger.
Right.
But you can make your butt bigger. You can tighten everything else up.
Right.
Instead of just work out and it's going to look better. It's going to look more natural. It's going to be more sustainable. You're going to feel better. You're going to be in a better mood. Like working out is such a game changer.
It really is.
It really is.
But it's hard to get people to do it.
I know.
Including myself. I did, by the way, go biking for the past couple days.
You did.
Yeah, because the weather was good.
Perfect.
We didn't have to come in.
I'm applauding you.
And yeah. But a whole of half an hour each time, you know, but it's still
half an hour. It's a start,
right?
You know, you don't need to be doing bike-a-thons.
But even with that, I felt better, you know?
Of course.
You just feel you're accomplishing something.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I haven't been able to hit the gym. I was on a really good roll for about a month. I was hitting the gym at like 6:30 in the morning before I came in here. And
I don't know
great.
How you can do that.
I know. I've never been able to do that before.
To get up that early.
I know. But I just knew that I wasn't going to get it done any other point in the day. And right. that feeling, I've really come out of years and years of procrastination since I've been out here. I haven't been really procrastinating. But I come from a very heavy background of procrastination. And it's terrible. I get it from my dad. And thanks, Dad. But I haven't been procrastinating, and I'm like, you know what, I hate the feeling of like having to hit the gym, like looming over you all day.
Yeah.
I hate it. Once, cause like I used to be, into bodybuilding and stuff. I worked with like a sports medicine trainer for years and years, and I've been lifting weights, and I, kind of like let shit go about a year ago. I had an injury and I really missed like hitting the gym, and like my skin has suffered. My joints like do not feel the same. Like I'm achier. I have shoulder cramps and headaches and things like that. But when I work out, I feel fantastic. I don't feel as depressed. It just helps,
yeah,
you know? And
yeah.
So I started getting back into it, and I'm like, you know, the only way I'm going to be able to fit this in my schedule and just get it the fuck out of the way is to do it first thing in the morning. So I started doing it, and it was a game changer. And my best friend, he started working out in the mornings too. So, and he's on the East Coast. So he would text me when he would get up, and he'd be like, go to the gym. And I'm like, fine. All right. And then he's like, where are you right now? I'm like, I'm at the gym. He's like, send me a picture. And I'd be like, look at the sweat bead. And he's like, all right, fine. He's one of those people, like, he's my best friend, and like we really like get stoned and eat a ton together. And he's like 6'1" or 6'2" and like has an extremely fast metabolism, and I'm like a short Jewish woman who does not have a fast metabolism. And my mom would always be like, you know, in my late teens, I lost like 70 pounds. So like weight's always been kind of like a thing I've kind of like had to be aware of. And so him and I can like throw down. Like everyone in my family can just like eat a ton. Like it's just in our blood. We just eat
food.
More than the average person. Not even that we love food. We just have an incredible ability to pack it in. And my best friend, he's Italian, so like his mom just like feeds him a ton of food all the time. So him and I just have this tendency to like get high and just like eat massive quantities of food. And my mom's always like, you have to be careful, you can't keep up with him. And I was like, I can keep up with him, I just have to work out three times as much as him. But it's so funny though, he's like been working out for like a month and he's like already ripped, and I'm like, you fucker, I hate you. And he's like, this is so amazing. I'm like, I've been trying to train you for years and you just didn't want to listen to me.
Yeah.
And it's just, you got to wait until something clicks in your head sometimes, you know, until you're ready to do it.
Right.
You know, you hear things, everyone's like, oh, you feel better, you're less depressed, it's going to help your mood, this and that. And it doesn't, sometimes it just doesn't click until you're ready to do it, you know? And then when you're ready, you're open and you're susceptible to the information and things like that. So,
right.
Yeah, it's good.
I know.
I'm happy he's on his healthy shit, because now when we hang out, I'm not going to be like, stop bringing pie with you.
Yeah, exactly.
We would just cut it into four. We would eat like a fourth each, finish that, and then like go back and get the other fourth.
Yeah,
so we would just eat like half a pie each. Like every time we hung out.
Oh my God.
Such a mess. So sloppy.
You know, it's funny when you're high, you can eat like nonstop.
So much.
Right?
So much. You're like, oh, it hurts. Like my stomach bag is going to rip.
Right.
This is how it feels.
But it's like one of anything is not enough, you know?
No, not at all. Like you need like like the Costco size bags of everything. You know, you're like, I need a Costco size bag of this.
Yeah,
he's like,
right?
Swedish fish, which is like so ridiculous. You know what I mean? Then you just go to bed with this, like, I call it gummy tummy, where you just eat gummies and your stomach just hurts. And you wake up the next day and you're like food hungover. Your like skin's a mess. I'm like 16 again with like pimples. I'm like, I feel sick. It's disgusting.
I know.
But yeah.
Wow.
I know. And set food is terrible. I haven't been able to work out in like 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks, because of filming. And there's just like gummies and chocolate all over set. And I'm like, get me out of here. I'm like,
really?
I got to get away.
So they serve you gummies and stuff like that?
Oh,
is that what you eat?
Craft services is garbage. I mean, the guy who's doing our craft services is good. I requested that we have like hummus and veggies and, you know, healthier things like salsa and whatever. So that's better. But there's also like a ton of sugar really? On set, a ton of sugar. Almost every production, especially smaller production I've worked on always have garbage on set. Jeez. It's like chips and sour cream and onion dip, and like it's just so chemical and processed, and even if I overeat, I like to overeat on healthy stuff, so yeah, that's good.
Wow,
disgusting, so sloppy.
Yeah,
there was like 2 days on set after Christmas where I was like, I gotta stop. Like, this has to stop. It was like Jabba the Hutt in the corner, just like, ugh. I could just like hear like the squishiness of it all. I'm just like breathing heavy, right. Mouth breathing when I sleep. I'm just like, hey, I gotta stop eating. It's terrible.
I don't know. It seems like, you know, I mean, since I stopped smoking and I realized I haven't been eating any more than I used to.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm gaining weight, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on, you know? So I need to start working out somehow, you know?
It'll be good. You'll feel so good.
Yeah, I know I will.
You know?
You feel accomplished, you know?
Yeah. And getting a good sweat, just like your endorphins, and
right.
It's so good.
And every doctor tells me I should do this, but...
You're going to have a nice glow.
Yeah.
You will.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, you will. You'll have a glow, I promise.
People are saying I already do when I quit smoking, so who knows?
Yeah.
But, we'll see. Yeah. Can you believe it's already been 50 minutes, a whole show?
Oh,
almost?
My gosh.
It's
time flies.
Unbelievable.
It was a good one today. It got a little gross, but it was good.
Yeah, exactly, right?
You know, mammograms, colonoscopies.
I know, IVs and foot dust.
Definitely foot dust. Ugh. Ugh. Still scarred from that?
Flaky skin.
Ew. My GI doctor gave me, because I had gone to the hospital, I thought my appendix was going to burst, and they did an ultrasound, which cost $10,000. They did an ultrasound, and like my intestines were like almost swollen shut, and they didn't know what was going on. So yeah. They had to do a colonoscopy and an endoscopy, so they had to put cameras on both sides, and she gave me photos of it. So I have really? Pictures I want to get framed of the inside of my colon. It's pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what we want to see.
Yeah. I'll bring them in.
Inside of your colon.
I'll bring them in. You can hang them right behind your chair so I can look at them while we talk. Or I'll put them behind mine so you can look at them while we talk.
Yeah.
It's great, though.
Did you hear that Kylie Jenner got criticized for this picture she put up. She got like twist braids, and people are saying this is like, what they call it? Like
cultural appropriation.
Cultural appropriation. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
So how do you know that that's what they called it?
Because I just know. As a millennial, you know.
Really?
Yeah, you just know.
So what does it mean?
It means, and I'm probably not going to do this definition justice. It's basically when... There's like a cultural
you try to
style
be like another culture,
right? Like if a white person has like dreads or something like that, right. It's almost like them taking it on as their own and making it quote unquote cool, or making it, you know, more mainstream, where, you know, it's more like that style or that that piece of culture belongs to that culture, which, right.
God,
I mean,
people gotta lighten up, you know? I mean, this is like bullshit.
I get it. See, I'm on the fence because I get it. And I also feel like I had pigtail braids one time, but I had them, it was like two, not cornrow, but they were like reverse French, right. Pigtail braids. And some girl on the street, like yanked my pigtail and was like, cultural appropriation. And I'm like, I'm just wearing like pigtail braids because my hair's dirty,
right.
And I wanted it off of my face,
right.
You know, and I didn't have time to wash it. And it wasn't me trying to do anything, you know, but at the same time, I understand that like some cultures aren't given the credit for their cultural differences, you know, and I do understand that for sure. And there's definitely more to that than I even know of, because I am white, and that's not something I can even give an answer that'll do it justice. Because, you know, I mean, as a white person, like, it's a journey of being like woke or whatever. And that's like something that you learn over time, and you just have to educate yourself on it. And I try all the time to educate myself on that as much as possible, you know, because I have you know, I mean, we live in the world with tons of people of other cultures, and it's, I think it's really important to just understand as much as you possibly can. And none of us will understand another culture because we're not that other culture. We'll never fully understand.
Right,
but we can be sensitive too.
Yeah. I would think you're being open when you do like cornrows or whatever. It shows that you're appreciating that culture. You know, it's not like...
Some people do feel that way.
I know. Well, anyway, so yeah, that's the generations of today. I don't know. I think people should lighten up and be able to borrow from one culture and another, you know.
I think it's important for everyone to be able to be open and share each other's cultures.
Right.
You know, like I would want to teach someone about my culture and I would want someone else to teach me about theirs.
Right.
And that's kind of where I stand with that. You know, I think that like, yeah, I mean, of course, there's privilege in my culture, in our culture being white. But I mean, there's no real but to that. But I do feel that I want people to be as open with me and share as much with me about their cultures as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, any knowledge is more knowledge, you know, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, amen to that.
Amen to that.
And so it's the end of the week. Welcome to a new century. No, new decade. New century. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Yeah, but I mean, we've lived in different centuries and different millennia, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a pretty big deal.
It is.
We're living in a good time, you know. And the world is not as bad as it is because people tend to look at the negative, but... this is probably the best time to have lived. You know, people live longer. We don't have conventional wars in first world countries anymore.
We're not as segregated as we were 50 years ago.
Right. There's no famine. There's no, you know, people don't die young from disease. So things like that, you know. I mean, people need to look at that and...
We're making progress.
Be positive, you know.
Yeah. And as much as millennials get torn up by others, I think that my generation's actually doing a pretty decent job trying to, you know, bring more equality and things like that. And I think that's really cool. So good job, millennials.
Amen to that, too.
Amen.
All right, everybody.
Yeah, so much amen.
Yeah, take care and have a great weekend and see you Monday.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.